A couple of years ago, David Giffels took on a kind of unusual woodworking project. He started building his own coffin with his 80-year-old father. And then his mother died. And his best friend got cancer and died. And this slightly morbid woodworking project took on a whole new meaning. David tells the story in a new memoir called Furnishing Eternity, and Charles Monroe Kane wanted to know how this whole coffin building thing got started in the first place.
I get that in some ways your father's older. You want to spend time with him. He's a wood builder, so you want to do that. But why a casket? Why a coffin? That seems a little deep.
It seems a little deep, but it actually started as a somewhat playful debate with my wife. My wife and I have been married a long time, and she comes from an old Sicilian immigrant mother, very old country, with very old country ideas about what a funeral is and should be, very Catholic, very traditional. And I have always said, especially when I was younger and even more cavalier, when I'm finished, you know, throw me in the woods or throw me into a dumpster, or you can bury me in a cardboard box. I don't want anything. You know, why spend a bunch of money? Anytime I'd say that, she's like, oh, you know, it would only reinforce her. No, you have to be buried in a formal, a very expensive production line, a shiny casket. And the more she would say that, of course, the more I would say, no, I actually want to be eaten by a coyote, like in front of our children. But of course, taken to its logical extreme, one night, my dad and I are having a few beers at this family party, and I'm like, wait a minute, this guy could probably build a pretty cool casket. And I'm like, wait a minute, if he and I did that, I would kind of win this fight because I would take complete control of what I would be buried in, and it would be a much nicer casket than she would have spent $3,000 on. Like, in my mind, this was sounding like a great idea. And so once you're, you know, a certain kind of dude and you say something out loud, you can't back down
from
it.
Right, no, you got to build the casket now.
And my dad kind of started, you know, all of a sudden he'd start doing sketches and doing a little reading, and he was getting into his 80s, and you're becoming aware of your parents' mortality. And it's like, well, this is also a way that I sort of could get some serious dad time.
Right.
In that workshop that I love to be in. So it was starting to be attractive on more and more levels.
So you and your father start building the casket. You're having some dad time. It seems interesting. And also, of course, and I'm sorry to say this, that during your time, your mother passed away. Did you and your father find, either together or individually, some solace in building the coffin for yourself?
It's weird. And it was almost like the writing gods said, oh, you want to write about mortality? Here, try this. And so my mom passed away. My mom died in 2012, just as we had kind of begun actually doing this, planning and building this. She died in July, and that summer was sort of chaotic and confusing and numbing and raw. Going over to my dad's to work, you know, it wasn't like we talked about it or anything, but there was just kind of this, I'm in the place that they defined with him, and we're doing something together, and that was as comforting as anything was going to be in a time when nothing really sort of puts things back right. But yeah, it definitely did give us, A, something to do, but B, I think a more precious time together.
There's a moment in your book, there are a couple of moments that really choked me up, and they weren't the obvious moments, I think, but they were, in my life, they were. And there's a moment where, after your mother dies, you need to be measured for your own coffin, right? So your dad lays you down and he gets out the things very practical about him, you know, takes the tape measure and he measures you, and it seems so intimate. Can you tell me about that moment?
It wasn't like, come over today and get measured for your coffin. It was like we got there and we just sort of realized if we're going to buy lumber, we kind of need to know how much. And
right.
So he's like, well, lay down. And so, yeah, so I'm laying there. And for the first time, kind of aware of what we're really getting ourselves into, because everything was abstract and kind of being talked about. But now all of a sudden I'm laying, if you are laying flat on your back with your arms crossed in that fashion, there are only two things that could be happening. You're either defending a penalty kick in a soccer game or you're being laid out in your coffin. And so in that unmistakable pose, I'm laying on the floor and my dad's like, it's like he's measuring a space to put a piece of furniture along a wall or so. He's just like doing this practical measuring. But yeah, while I'm lying there and he's doing the work and calling out numbers and writing things down, I'm very aware for the first time that this weird thing that we're doing together, you know, what it's really going to be, and just that intimacy of your father measuring you. I don't think he'd measured me since the last time he put a hash mark on the door frame when he was taking my height when I was a kid.
You know, as I read your book and I was reading about your mom, someone has died in my family, my brother recently, and I was thinking a lot about that as I read your book, so it was a little bit harder to read for me. And there's a point. Well, tell us about your friend John, your best friend.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm sorry about your brother.
No, thank you.
And those are moments. I mean, I hadn't had one of those moments yet. You know, I hadn't lost a parent or somebody who was that close to me. And my mom died just as we were starting this thing. And a year and 3 days later, my closest friend in the world, other than my wife, died. So yeah, John and I had been, since we'd gone to high school together, but in college, we really sort of bonded over, especially over music and, you know, like finding new underground music and seeing bands and trading fanzines and mixtapes and records and also art. He was an art major and I was a creative writing major. So just those kinds of things. And as earnest young men, he would give me a copy of Allen Ginsberg's Howl for
yes,
my
of
birthday.
Course.
Yeah. And I would find a collection of Miro or something, like doing those things that really, you know, make you feel like you're becoming somebody. And he was the one person as we got older and, you know, into middle age that still had those interests and those passions and really an important presence in my life for lots of reasons. And we kept each other sort of interesting in certain ways. And so when he died, that was the second of that 1-2 punch that really kind of put everything into like, what is, you know, okay, what is, yeah, what is life and what is death? Like those big questions that I thought I was interested in that I could no longer dabble with, you know, they were really real.
You know, when I got your book, I was like, man, this is a metaphor, right? Couldn't get more metaphorical than this, right?
I know.
But your father early on in the process just destroys the metaphoric possibilities and rips it to shreds. He just says to you, David, it's just a box. Is it just a box? Is it?
You know, it kind of is when I think about it now. I mean, the process of it allowed me the things I wanted, which was to spend time with my dad and to think about this subject of mortality. But the more I thought that it was going to give me some sort of wisdom, the more that seemed impossible. And so when it got finished, and partly because of my dad's influence, because he was always very practical about it and would sort of almost like make fun of me when I would get philosophical, sort of keep me in check.
Yep, totally.
And so when we finally brought it home to my house to figure out how to store it, it became a piece of furniture. It really did become just a box.
Where is it? What do you use it for? Is it TV on it? What's on it?
You know, it's big and bulky, and it's undeniably my coffin.
Yeah, it's so, undeniably like, that coffin shape.
Where are you going
right?
to put it? So I had been kind of hemming and hawing around Gina because she's like, where are you going to keep this thing? And I'm like, don't worry, I got a plan. And I had no plan at all.
Of course not.
And so we were moving it at one point in the workshop, and we had to stand it on end. And I'm like, oh, if you put shelves in this, it would be a pretty nice looking bookcase. So I outfitted it with bookshelves that can be removed when it eventually needs to be used for its other purpose.
And so since this time, how's your father? He helped you build it. I mean, how's your father doing?
Yeah, well, he was dealing with cancer when this began, and he's a very vibrant, robust person. But he actually very recently has started to go into decline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
His cancer has been advancing for the past couple of months.
And did he build, has he built his own coffin? What's he going to do for a coffin?
We got done with mine, and I finished the book. And he said, well, we made all the mistakes on yours. Now I'm going to build mine the right way. So he built this much simpler, less Baroque, really cool coffin. It's in the traditional coffin shape with the angled edges. And it's just, it's a beautiful piece of work. And he just finished it. I mean, it's really, really neat. And I know for him, even if he wasn't sick, that at 85 years old, it's going to be much sooner. Like, I'm already comforted by the fact that I know that at the time of his funeral, that we're going to have this really interesting thing to talk about. And also this true manifestation of everything that he was good at sitting there, instead of just looking at some manufactured, pre-ordered thing that you had to buy to put somebody in the ground in. It's going to be this, like, almost like his legacy right there.
Well, David, your story and your book, that is a beautiful book, and it was really touched by it. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Charles.
David Giffel's memoir is called Furnishing Eternity, A Father, A Son, A Coffin, and A Measure of Life. One of the things David did during that year is compose his own funeral playlist. We're listening to one of those tracks. He's going to be sharing the others, along with his own comments, with you. Look and listen on our website at ttbook.org. And while you're there, let's keep the list going. Tell us what song you'd like played at your funeral. There.